ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder, Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text number 23. So if you like, we can chant together. I will be reading from the word-for-word translation. Niyatam sangarahitam aragadveshataha kritam avala prepsuna karma yat tat satvikam uchate niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepshuna karma yat tat satvikam uchate niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate yatat satvikam uchate niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate. Niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate.
Sir, would you like to try?
Niyatam sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate.
Would you like to try? Would you like to try?
Niyatang sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yatat satvikam uchate.
Please, would you like to try?
Niyatang sangarahitam Araga dveshata kritam Afala prepsuna karma Yatat satvikam uchate
Would you like to chant also, please? Vous voulez un chant? Oui?
Oh, pas d'allumette? Ok, oh, pas de problème. Ok, please repeat. Niyatam regulated. Sangarahitam without attachment. Aragadveshataha without love or hatred. Kritam done. Afala prepsuna by one without desire for fruit of result. Karma action. Yad which tat that satvikam in the mode of goodness. Uchyate is called. Translation. That action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruit of results, is said to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. Regulated occupational duties, as prescribed in the scriptures in terms of the different orders and divisions of society, performed without attachment or propriety rights, and therefore without any love or hatred, and performed in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Supreme, without self-satisfaction or self-gratification, are called actions in the mode of goodness. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitangyena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapadantikang Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Rakunutam Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasari Ghora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Niyatang Sangarahitam, Araga Dveshata Kritam, Avala Prepsuna Karma, Yatat Satvikam Uchate. Uchate means that which is called Satvikam. Satvikam. Satva means goodness. And satvikam is this word ka. Ka means doing. It's the mode of goodness. There's three different modes in the universe. Mode of goodness or sattva guna, mode of passion or raja guna, and mode of ignorance or tama guna. So the whole universe is basically influenced by these three modes. Like for instance in the morning, this is sattva guna. You speak English also? Yes? Okay. Little? Well, à la matin, it's sattva guna. The morning, it's sattva guna. In the midday, it's raja guna. Passion. In the morning, it's sattva guna. Amidi, yes. And then in the night, it's tamas. Tamas means darkness. Tamagun. So then the darkness falls in. And you can experience this. In the morning, the birds, they start to whistle. It's fresh. And then in the midday, it's full on, it's working. People start to eat. This is a good time to eat also because the fire of digestion is very high, the passion is very high. It's a good time to eat. And then at night it becomes dark. Everybody knows there's like ghosts and things like that. This is called tamagun. And there's so many stories that when the darkness falls, then the thieves come out and like that, the evil spirits come out. And then in the morning, then again the sun shines. And also different kinds of food is in different modes, like meat and alcohol. This is in the mode of ignorance. And then like peppers and very spicy food, very very rich food, very opulent food, like kings, they eat in the mode of passion. And then mode of goodness is very, we say, sattvic. So it's like sugar and like healthy food, like vegetables and rice, and this is mode of goodness. So there's also different persons in different modes. So you have like priests, they are in the mode of goodness. Then you have like government and police and army, they're in the mode of passion. And then you have like economical class, like farmers and businessmen, they're in the mode of passion and in the mode of ignorance. And then you have like working class, they're in the mode of ignorance. They're generally in that, they're ruled by that mode. Of course, if we become Krishna conscious, my understanding is that then everybody comes uplifted. So they actually more or less act in the mode of goodness, but they are still having a different likes and dislike. Like some people, they like to take care of the cows and they like to trade certain things. Other people, they just like to serve. They like to work, just keep it simple. They don't have a lot of responsibility. They work and then they go to their family like that. They like it like that. Some people, they want to be a little bit in charge. Like I'm a little bit like that. They want to be a little bit, oh, I'm the boss, like that. That is another kind of mood. And other people, they're like very brahminical. They're very priestly and they're very calm and quiet. They think a lot and they can speak very nicely. They can speak very nicely about Bhagavad Gita. So they're called the priest, Brahmana class. So everybody has a different kind of mood. And now today we speak about this mode of goodness, which is actually essential for spiritual life, this mode. If we are too much in passion, then it's not really possible to have spiritual life. So we'll have a little bit deeper look what this mode of goodness means. And then we can discuss maybe a little bit. So I'll read the translation one more time. That action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment. Yeah, so the mode of goodness, it's niyatam. Niyatam means also practice. It means rules, regulation. So this is very, very important that we need to become regulated. We wake up at certain times, we eat at certain times, we sleep at certain times, we talk at certain times. Like now we have a lecture. This is a good time to discuss philosophy when the sun goes down, like that. This regulation is very important. Like I said, we wake up at a certain time, we eat at a certain time. If you ask a person who gets very old, like sometimes you have these Japanese people or anybody who's very like 110 or 120, anytime you ask them, they will say, I always do, and then they say something. So it can be like, I always drink sake, or I always, but they have something that they always do. So the body responds to regulation. The body is like a machine, and it likes this regulation. It's very important. Of course, if you drink alcohol, that's not so good. So it should be good regulation. But regulation itself is already good. That's what it says here, that it should be the action which is regulated. That's one thing. That's goodness. If you regulate something, doesn't matter what it is, it's good. Like, for instance, people who fight. They do regulative actions. They repeat it, and like, or a musician, it's also passion, but he regularly practices, and like this, he gets it. So this is kind of like, you're passionate. I want to play guitar, but then you have to regulate the action. So this is part of goodness. The action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment. So this is the second part. So regulation is not enough. It's a part of goodness. Then needs to be without attachment. This is very, very difficult. This actually can, as far as I understand, can only be really reached if one becomes Krishna conscious. In other words, if one realizes that Krishna is God and I am his servant. I am a soul. I am a very tiny part of Krishna and I am supposed to serve him. And therefore, I don't really possess anything. Neither, because I don't possess anything, I can neither reject anything because nothing belongs to me. It's like a child, you know. The father gives him some toy and then the child says, I don't want it anymore. But really the owner is ultimately the father. So the idea is that whatever we get, we should use it for Krishna. And Krishna, he is all good. So, and that is actually the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Because I don't know if you know this book, there's a story behind it. And the story is, as you can see there and here, it's about a prince called Arjuna. And this prince, he had a brother, Yudhisthira. And his nephew, he usurped the kingdom. He took the kingdom illegally. And he was, as they say in America, he was a bad guy. He was a bad guy. So Krishna, after trying so many things, he asked Arjuna to fight against his own nephew. And in India, in Vedic culture, the families are very much interrelated. So a nephew is almost like a brother. It's actually like a brother. And the grandfather was on their side. So Arjuna's grandfather was on the opposite side. So he felt really bad. He said, this is not good. So he didn't want to fight. He said, this is immoral. Nothing good can come of this. But he became, we could say, in one sense, sentimental. He was a little bit confused. Of course, Arjuna is not really confused. He is an eternal devotee of Krishna. But he acted confused for our sake, because actually we are confused. Or at least, if I speak for myself, I am confused. It's difficult. We identify with this body. And we think, this is my family. Or as Prabhupada used to say about Gandhi, this is extended selfishness. Like, India is my country. But I tried to explain it. We are not this body. We are the soul. So the body and the country, it's all related to the body. You know, it's a misidentification. So to serve the country like Gandhi was doing, we have to take care of India. This is extended selfishness. I take care of my country, of my family, like that. So ultimately, we have to serve Krishna. And the example that is given in the Shastra, it is like watering a tree. Krishna is the source of everything. He is the origin of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigra, Anadir Adir Govinda. Govinda, or Krishna, he is Anadir Adir Govinda. He is the origin, the Adir, and he is Anadir. He is without origin. This is the definition of God. Sometimes overly clever persons, they ask, but who is in charge of God, or what was before God? But no, that is the definition of God. The definition of God is nothing was before him. So, but with our limited mind, we cannot understand this. Because we identify with this body, and this body has a beginning and an end. So to have a concept of something that doesn't have an end, it cannot really be fully understood by our tiny consciousness. So, but Krishna, he is in fact the origin of everything. And therefore, the example is given of a tree. So Krishna is like the root of the tree. He is the origin of the life. And the tree grows. And what we generally do, like for instance the example of Gandhi, we are watering the leaves of the tree. And if you only water the leaves of the tree, if you just take care of India, but you don't take care of Krishna, then ultimately it will fail. And that is actually what we see. In India, things are very chaotic. Many people in India now, they are complaining about so much corruption like that. Because they miss the point. The point is Krishna. And therefore people are unsatisfied, and therefore they want to take more than they actually should. Because they're unsatisfied. Gandhi used to say like that, there is enough for one man's, for everyone's need, but not enough for one man's greed. Because once we get greedy, we always want more and more and more, and it's never enough. So, but once we start to love Krishna, once we start to serve Krishna, he is called Atma Ram. So Atma means the self, the soul, and Ram means satisfied. So he is fully satisfied within himself. And if we serve him, we can also, in minute emotion, in minute feeling, we can feel that we also become self-satisfied. This is a gradual process, of course, but it works like that. Not only can we feel Atmaram, but we can do questions later. Not only we can feel Atmaram, but we can also feel much more enjoyment. Like one example was given, to give another example of the tree. So just to finish this example, the idea is you water the root of the tree. And you water the root of the tree, all the leaves will be satisfied. So it's simple. You satisfy Krishna, everyone will be satisfied. Sometimes people ask, what is your political view? This is a big question people always want to ask. So our political view is Sarva Sukhinu Bhavantu. Let everybody be happy. This is Krishna consciousness. We want everybody to be happy. And the only way to make everybody happy is that everybody serves Krishna. And that at least, because ultimately this is a utopia, but at least that the government is directed towards this point, to serve Krishna. And then this is actually what the priestly class has to do. The priestly, because we're talking about the mode of goodness, the priestly class, they should be the in charge. But they should be independent. Like now they separate church from the state. Which in one sense, actually, it's a good thing. In one sense, it's a good thing. Because the priest should be completely independent, especially financially. He should be independent. But the culture, in the Vedic culture, is that the king, they would offer the kingdom to the priest. They would come to the priests, and the king would say, here's the kingdom, it's yours. And the priest would accept it, and he said, thank you very much. Now I will give it back to you, and you manage it properly. So that is the idea, that the king, he manages the country in the consciousness that actually it belongs to Krishna, and the priests who represent Krishna, they are actually the real in charge, and I just am their servant. And this is actually the Vedic culture. This is like in France, you say Monseigneur or Monsieur. So this Seigneur is Krishna. Krishna is the real Seigneur. He's the real Sir. Or the real, in America they say Mister or Lord. In Spanish they say Señor. So Krishna is the real Lord. But the culture is that we say, in Holland we say Meneer. Goeiedag Meneer or Mijn Heer, my Lord. Good day, Monseigneur. Like that. Bonjour, Monseigneur. That is the culture. That we try to become a servant of everyone. And this is the general. But at the same time, there has to be some division. Division is already there. But what I'm trying to explain is that the priestly class, they should ultimately be the in charge. They should, the government should ask them for advice. And of course, they have to be qualified. Because now in India, you have this priestly class, but it's mainly based on birth. So if you get born like a priest, then you can become a priest. This is their philosophy. Of course, there is some truth in it. If you get born as a lawyer, like your father is a lawyer, and he has a big business, then naturally you can learn to become a lawyer. But no one in the world will accept you unless you got a degree as a lawyer. The son of the lawyer has to follow the degree, And he has to be tested by other lawyer. Generally not by his father. But the point is he needs to be tested. And then he can call himself a lawyer. So similarly with these so-called brahmanas, they have to be qualified brahmanas. So in ISKCON we have four principles. Is no eating of meat, no drinking, no intoxication, and no gambling. So this is the beginning actually of human life. So in India, I don't want to be too critical, but in India, many of these brahmanas, they either drink or smoke or even eat meat. And then you cannot really call yourself a brahmana. And this is a big problem. And many people, especially now in Bombay, which is a very, how do you say that? They're very westernized, actually. I think that is the word. You got this Bollywood and like, so they really don't like this anymore. They're really starting to more be against this, because the priestly class, they are not so qualified. This is why people get agitated, and this is the whole problem why the world is in chaos, because there is no head. The brahmanas are like the head, so we have to really. You know, I'm looking now especially at the monks here. We have to qualify ourselves. But it's for all of us. We should really, because everybody that's here, they're spiritual, they're doing spiritual life. So every one of us, we should be very much careful to qualify ourselves. Because otherwise, we will hear the same that I'm saying now about so many people who also try to be spiritual in India. So we should not fall into the same trap, kind of. So we have to be very careful. Not everyone, me included. So everyone should be very mindful to try to follow strictly. Anyway, I get a little bit off the point. The point was, we have to serve Krishna in order to be detached. And I want to give one more example. About if we want to have fun, because everybody wants to have fun. Now Krishna, as you might know, he's called the supreme enjoyer. He has actually the most fun. And one time a friend of mine, he gave the example that if you are on a bike, a bicyclette, and you have a friend and he is on a motor who goes fast, then sometimes they hold the motor, right? And it goes very fast. You don't have to bike even. So Krishna is like that. If you want to have really fun, you connect with Krishna, and then your fun will increase. Like, look at me. I live here in a castle. But it's Krishna's castle. He's in charge. We serve him. But I get also to sit here and live here and enjoy this beautiful country. So like that, if you become the servant of God, then you get all so many benefits. And all you have to do is just simply surrender to Krishna. It is really that simple. And the more we surrender, the more we will feel this enjoyment and this atmaram, this self-satisfaction inside our heart, inside our mind. So, like that. So if we become more connected with Krishna, we can actually detach ourselves from the external world, which looks so attractive. But as we say in Sanskrit, it is called maya. And maya means that which is not, that which is an illusion in our mind. It's not Krishna. We think like that. We think we can enjoy outside of Krishna. But when we become learned, we understand everything is expansion of Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. And like I said in the beginning, it should be used for Krishna. So I will try and wrap it up now. So regulated occupational duties as prescribed in the scriptures. Oh, wait, I'm going too fast. The action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruit of results is said to be in the mode of goodness. So I think I more or less explained that. Although one thing I maybe need to clarify a little bit more is that it says here you have to perform without attachment and without desire for fruit of results. So, sounds a little bit like the same. But the thing is, we can also become attached to the action itself. So, even to the action itself, we should be detached. We should just simply do it for Krishna. And then, once we do the action, there is generally a fruit that comes with the action. So also the fruit, that's probably why it's at the end, because that is the most difficult. Because once we did all the work, and we maybe worked without love or hatred, but then we still have the desire for the result. So even that we need to give up. And that can only be done if we have faith in Krishna. Like I gave the example of this castle, that we live in this castle and it's so nice. So Krishna will take care of us. We need to have that faith. Yoga, kshema, vajami, aham. He will carry what we lack and he will preserve what we have. So we need to have that faith that Krishna will take care of us. And then we can just give up the result to Krishna. Like today, we were discussing there is one deity in India, in south of India. And this deity seems to be very powerful. That whatever you give him, he gives back at least tenfold. So people give amazing amounts of money to this deity. Because the Indians, they are very intelligent. They know that when we give 1,000 rupee, we will get back 10,000 rupees. So this deity is the most popular deity in India, and he's also the richest deity in India. But the point is that when we do one step to Krishna, he does 10 steps towards us. So we should have that faith that if we give all our money to Krishna, he will give it back to us. Or not, but he will. A real friend, he acts in the best interest. So he will take care of us. Not only of us, even of our family. He will also take care of our family. Because he's in charge. He's in charge of everything. We need to develop that faith. It's called Shraddha. And this needs to develop more and more and more. Now we'll try to wrap it up. The purport. Regulated occupational duties as prescribed in the scriptures in terms of the different orders and divisions of society. So this I explained a little bit. The different Well, I didn't explain about the different orders. There's also four orders that are also related to the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So you have brahmachari, grihastha, varnaprastha, and sannyas. So these are the four orders, different orders. So brahmachari is celibate student. Then the grihastha, in fact, is also celibate, but there is some scope for sense gratification. He gets married. And then varnaprastha, one becomes detached. And then sannyas is like complete retired from material activities. And generally in this age, sannyas is not recommended. But in our ISKCON, we use sannyas for preaching. So if we take sannyas and then we preach, then it can be successful, but one has to be fully surrendered to Guru and Krishna and then preach. Of course, everybody in our society they have this preaching mood because Prabhupada and actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually Radharani, they all have this preaching mood. They want to bring so many people, so many souls to Krishna. This is actually the idea behind it, to increase Krishna's happiness. They want to invite more souls to the spiritual world. Please come, they're inviting us. As prescribed in the scriptures in terms of the different orders and divisions of society, performed without attachment or proprietary rights. So Prabhupada gets a little bit more technical so that we cannot make it like vague. He makes it very specific, proprietary rights. So, you know, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my house belongs to you, Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami, he recommended you should give 50% to the temple, or at least to a spiritual cause. Should give 50, if you are a householder, you have a job, then the way to become detached is to give 50% to the spiritual cause, and then 50% you keep for the family and for emergencies like that. And therefore, without any love or hatred, because Prabhupada points out here, if you don't have any attachment and you don't have any proprietor rights, automatically the love and the hatred disappears, because you're not so much attached. Because love and hatred, it's like I want this. And the hate is when somebody takes it. But once you surrender to Krishna, of course, you maintain it, like we maintain this castle, but we leave everything up to Krishna. So then this love and hatred is, it's not material. Whenever there's love or hatred, it's related to Krishna. So we do whatever Krishna says. So like Arjuna, he was fighting, which seems to be like an aggressive thing, but he was fighting for Krishna. So he wasn't identifying with that specific emotion as normal people do. So it looks almost the same. Krishna conscious person looks almost the same, but the consciousness is different. That is why this movement is called Krishna consciousness. The consciousness has to change. And that is why I explained about this word Maya. It is simply an illusion. The Krishna conscious is already there. It's already there. We're just covered. This body is one covering. Then mind, another covering. Then intelligence, another. It's polluted. It needs to be purified. And that is why we chant these mantras. Mana means mind, and tra means to deliver. This mantra, Maha mantra, great mantra of deliverance, it will deliver us to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. It will deliver us, as they say in America, signed, sealed, and delivered. We will be completely clean. Because in this state that I, as I speak for myself, as I am now, I am not pure enough to associate with Krishna and his devotees. Like Satchananda Maharaj, he gave a very nice example, which I'd like to share with you. Is he said, we should think that we are living with very rich people, like we're now living with devotees. They're very rich, and I'm very fortunate to live with them. So we should think like that, you know, that, oh, I'm so fortunate. So anyway, so as soon as we give away the attachment, then love and hatred automatically will subside. And of course, this is, I pointed it out many times already in the lecture, performed in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So Prabhupada, I mean, I cannot stress this enough, Prabhupada's purpose, as far as I understand, they are like completely perfect. Because he doesn't leave any room for our kind of rascal minds to make any room for speculation. Because he says, he's almost writing like a lawyer. And he told us, you read these books like a lawyer. You study it like a law book. You know this book inside out. Because he says it should be performed in Krishna consciousness, but that's not enough. He says, and for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So we should always, it should be favorable, Rupa Goswami says. Should always think, I'm doing this to satisfy Krishna. So thinking of Krishna is not enough. Because Kamsa was also Krishna conscious. Kamsa was Krishna's enemy. He was constantly thinking about Krishna. But it was unfavorable. He hated Krishna. He wanted to kill him. So that is not the Krishna consciousness that we want to achieve. We want to have the Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. So that is a very important point. And then Prabhupada continues, and then I'll end, without self-satisfaction or self-gratification. So he goes on, like in America, when you go into the court, you have to swear this pledge. I swear to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So you have the truth. That's one thing. I speak the truth. 1 + 1 = 2. But then the whole truth. You see, there is a whole mathematical thing behind that 1 + 1 = 2. And nothing but the truth. So don't say 1 + 1 = 2.0 or something. Because, you know, it's not really... You're adding things that are not really necessary. It's just 2. You see? So the whole truth, nothing but the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing. So here also, Prabhupada gives also the negative. He gives the truth, but he also says without self-satisfaction or self-gratification. So we shouldn't think, I'm going to serve Krishna for his satisfaction. Like sometimes I offer here the breakfast, and then sometimes I think like, let me take a burfi, you know. So this is not the idea. The idea is we offer it to Krishna and we don't think of ourselves. That let me also take a little payment, you know. Let me also satisfy myself, my tongue. So it shouldn't be like that. And many times I didn't do it. And then at breakfast, somehow or other, the sweet was there that I actually wanted to take. So this is the meaning of yoga kshema vajami aham. Krishna will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. So I could have taken the sweet and carry it and make my hands dirty and maybe my dhoti dirty. But it wasn't necessary because somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, it was left there. And I was late in the breakfast, but he left it there for me. And I was allowed, so we could say, to enjoy it. Because Krishna doesn't want us to suffer, it's not like that. But we have this tendency to enjoy. So therefore this tapasya, it's needed. Like when I wake up the deities, I have to get up very early. Because Krishna gets up very early. And this is sometimes difficult, because sometimes I'm tired. So this we need to do, like that we become purified. So that in the beginning that needs to be done. And then gradually we get this internal enjoyment. And that is, you could say that is real enjoyment in the mode of goodness. It's more an internal enjoyment. You sort of look. So I should stop there. Thank you very much for listening so long. Maybe there's any question or comment? Everything clear? Yeah, the thing is, I mean, I'm not sure exactly when Prabhupada wrote this Bhagavad Gita. I know it got stolen, because he had it already written in India, but then I think it got stolen in New York, right? Something like that. Anybody, you know? Yeah, in New York, right? Yeah, so the thing is, Prabhupada knows us. Because even before he started to preach, he said that he would just take the bus, and he would just go around New York and look and observe the people. So Prabhupada really observed, you know, the Western mind and the Western culture. And then he got all these hippies coming in. So he knew. He was a little bit surprised in the beginning. He said like that. I don't know if he was surprised, but he said like that. He was a little bit surprised. So he knows how we think and how, I mean, I'm sorry to say, how rascal we are. Because we always try to find, the Western mind is like that, trying to find a loophole. Like nowadays, lawyers are very well paid because they're expert in finding the loophole in the law. This is not really the idea, you see, to find the loophole. Because if you want, you can find them here also. But it's written in such a way that it's very difficult. And if you're sincere, then you actually see that they're really not there. It's like you said, it's very clear. That's a very big question.
Yes, I know.
Well, I think many devotees, they will give you different answers. I can only give you my answer. My understanding is that I can tell you one story actually that I heard from somebody who was kind of close to him. His followers, they tried to bring him back because he was going. And they preached to him, no, you shouldn't go. And then he said to them, he said, I hear you, I hear what you say, but it's not processing. I have been speaking for so many years, and I have not been listening. Because he gave all the classes, wherever he came, he gave the class. So he said, I have not been listening, and now it's too late. I hear you, but it's not going in. So I think it is little bit part of the problem. And I personally have studied it to some extent, and this is what I've seen from my own findings time and time again, that generally they stopped following strictly. They stopped coming to the programs in the morning and in the evening. They stopped, and it's not only because, like Bhagavan explained, that it's not only that you should give the class all the time. You should also try to listen to your god brothers. You see, even Prabhupada listened to his disciples. Just see. Even Prabhupada, he's like the acharya of the movement. But he was sitting down in Vrindavan and his disciples were giving class and he was enjoying their classes. He was reading his own books. He was enjoying Krishna book. So, you know, we got a little bit in passion. Because this castle is because of Bhagavan for a great part. In those days, devotees, collected hundreds and thousands of francs, Belgian francs, and also many guilders, and so many. So that is why we could buy this castle, you see. So the passion also, it has its function, but the thing with passion, and that is what we're discussing today, at some stage it has to go to goodness, because you cannot maintain passion. You see, love is the other side of hatred. There has to be something else. And that something else is Krishna. And this actually, this class that we're doing, we're saying Uchate, huh? Sattvikam, what does it say? At the last sentence? Yatat Sattvikam Uchate. This is called Sattvikam, mode of goodness. So Uchate means, it's called, Krishna is saying this, Uvacha. Bhagavan, Uvacha. So we have to listen. We have to listen to this class. This is Krishna speaking. This is Krishna. So, so this mode of passion, we can transcend it if we add Krishna. And the best way to add Krishna is just to listen what he says. So I feel this was the main problem with most of the persons who got into troubles, that they stopped following strictly. And then, of course, another related point is that they made offenses to their god brothers. If you make offenses, then you lose your taste for following. Of course, Rupa Goswami explains that even if you lose your taste, you continue. And then you gain again taste. So you never stop. You never stop. But, you should realize that I have offended a devotee and I should apologize, because then it comes back. Is that all right? Because it's a big question. Huh? And I tell you frankly, it's not really a question for Bhagavad Gita class. But I answered it anyway. I hope that was all right. I think we should stop here. We have bhajans now. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Ga je zingen? You want to sing?